October 29, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means having to deal with some sports books that needed some correcting, needed some addressing. Don't really know quite how to call it. I'm not going to like lay down the law, but I had two instances with two different sports books where I had to inquire about something that wasn't quite right. First one, BetMGM. BetMGM, and I think plenty of the sports books do this, will grade a wager in real time, right? Like, so if you have the over and the, like, if you have over, you know, a certain amount of goals or whatever, and it goes over, boom, it'll grade it, and that's it. Well, I had money on essentially on a team to not score in a half, and they get a goal, and then it gets called back. Well, in that time between the goal being reported and the goal being called back by officiating, the wager had graded as a loss. So I had to get a hold of BetMGM. I mean, I had to wait till the you know, of course, the half was over to make sure that it wasn't otherwise going to lose. But once the game was over, I got hold of support, and I was like, this isn't right. And there was no problem. They were like, hey, we'll take a look at it. Less 10-15 minutes later, boom, it was graded as a winner in my account. So that was easy. The second one, and you may have seen me talk about this on Twitter, I was at my local grocery store. I was getting groceries, as one does, and I saw that DraftKings had a gift card at the gift card rack, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. Let me see what this is about. On the gift card, it reads valid across daily fantasy, sportsbook, and casino. Now, I knew that the casino wasn't going to work, right? Because Virginia doesn't have an online casino, but Virginia does have a sportsbook, one that I use. So I went ahead and grabbed it, a $50 gift card off the rack there, mostly out of curiosity, and also I was like, look, if this works, rather than funding my account via PayPal, I'll just fund my account by buying gift cards and get a little more on my little extra on my spend there with the grocery store purchase. So I was all excited. I get home, boom, I hop on my account, my DraftKings account. I enter in everything, and it's like, oh, gift cards not usable, or like gift cards not allowed, or currently not acceptable, or something like that. And I was like, and so, of course, I get a hold of DraftKings support right away, and they inform me that in the state of Virginia, gift cards cannot be used to fund the sports book. I showed them quickly the hypocrisy the glaring conflict here of the what's printed on the card and what they're telling me, and they essentially were like, "Yeah, we get it. That's a problem. Here's $10 in free play. That's it." $50 gift card won't work. They're like, here's $10. Sorry that we lied to you. Sorry that the card's not working. Look, there's nothing on the card. There's nothing at the gift card stand. There was nothing at checkout. There's nothing a part of this entire process that suggests that this isn't possible in the state of Virginia. So I went on, I did as one does when they're pissed off at a company. I went to Twitter. And I tagged DraftKings. They followed up. They kind of explained the situation a little bit more and did clarify that they're aware of the problem, that they're working on it. Working on it in a way that I think they're going to get to a place soon where gift cards can be usable. And they actually gave me some more free play. Now, it wasn't $50. They gave me like another $25, I think, of free play. So a total of $35 in free play for the inconvenience for a $50 gift card that I will actually get a chance to use. I'm not up Schitt's Creek on this thing. I'll either, whichever comes first, going out to West Virginia like I do occasionally, or they get the situation fixed in the state of Virginia. But super annoying and super sketchy. Selling that when it's like not usable for the ways that the card advertises it's usable for, it's very sketchy. And that was my problem with it. It wasn't that I thought it was gonna be out $50. But as soon as they told me it's not usable in your state, I was like, well, I bet it's usable in a state that I'll go to. And it, sure enough, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, West Virginia, these are states that I find myself in. So I knew I'd be able to use it eventually. It wasn't out $50, but I was thinking about how, you know, the average sports bettor, maybe they want to give DraftKings a try. Maybe they don't even have a DraftKings account yet. And they're like, oh, snap, DraftKings, that's right, I can bet on sports here. And they grab that and they go to make their account, and boom, first thing they get told is, no, you can't do that. So I was pretty upset about just how disingenuous the whole process, or just about how that is. We'll see how long it takes them to fix that, and then we'll see. I'll go out to West Virginia. I'll see if I can apply it to my account, and we'll see what happens there. But that's how to deal with a couple sports books. C'est la vie. This week on The Better Life, I have a gentleman from Turning Stone Casino Resort up in New York. Dan Jones is the director of guest experiences, and he was nice enough to join me to discuss his role there at Turning Stone, his experiences. He provides a couple stories, his perspective on gaming, etc. But the way this came about was Turning Stone Resort Casino, I guess is its official name, had been named number one best overall gaming resort in the state of New York by Casino Player Magazine in a list of 2021 list of best in gaming awards. And when it comes to the New York accolades here, it lists about more than a dozen number ones and bests, including best overall gaming resort, best casino resort for a vacation, best table games, best video poker, best blackjack, best dealers, number one spa, number one pool, best prop bets, best overall sports book. So I was curious. I was like, well, let me talk to someone. What makes your place so great? Well, Dan Jones is nice enough to hop on and talk to us. Now, I will admit, the audio here gets a little choppy, and I was unaware. It didn't come across this way during the call, so I'm not sure if it was a bitrate issue or what, but it did record a little choppy, so I do apologize that there are some spots that are a little kind of difficult to hear and kind of annoying to try to get through. But the I enjoyed this so much, I didn't want to. A couple years ago, I might have just scrapped it. Like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Audio's bad. Don't want to do it. The audio isn't bad, but it does get tricky and a little annoying at times. So I do apologize for that. But I think that if you stick it through, I think you will enjoy Dan's perspective here and some of the things he says about recreational gambling and the relationship between casinos and gamers. Enjoy! Dan Jones with Turning Stone Casino Resort up in New York, Director of Guest Experience. Sir, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
So briefly, can you describe sort of what your position is, what that title means, and ultimately what you do on a routine basis?
It's kind of a catch-all. It's a fairly new title department position for us here. As we've grown, originally it was the one resort, Turning Stone Resort Casino, and we've since added multiple properties, and we have a number of different enterprises. So we actually have much more of a corporate structure now. And the feeling was that we needed to create a position that allowed a person, it turns out me, to kind of have an overview of all those properties and see what's working well, what's not working well. Are there areas we can improve on? Consistency is the key, right? To make sure that we have high standards, and to make sure that as folks travel from our different locations, they're really close together. A lot of our guests they frequent multiple locations to make certain they were getting a similar experience. So it's just one of the things that I'm able to do in this position. I have a background in player development, so I still have some of our better guests that I deal with. There's special events, there's things like this, interviews, property tours. So it's kind of a catch-all. When people don't know where to turn to, they kind of look at me. So it's, I've been here a long time. I know a lot of people, so I'm able to help, able to facilitate where maybe there's things that fall outside of the norm.
So how long have you been at Turning Stone, and do you have any industry experience beyond that?
I don't. I've been in the hospitality industry for well over 30 years, but my casino history starts here when Turning Stone opened a little over 28 years ago. So I started on the casino floor and have been very fortunate. I'm sort of like the Forrest Gump of Turning Stone. I've had a number of different positions. I turn up at various places, and here we are going on 29 years later, and I have position that really kind of incorporates everything that I've learned over all that time. So it's a great place to be.
So you just said you started on the casino floor. Whereabouts did you start?
I was in the original blackjack class before we opened the resort with no machine, no slot machines, just tables. It's a long story. New York State game. We were the first casino in New York State. So we only had table games. We were, and even then it was kind of iffy right until the last minute, but I was in the very first blackjack class. So I started college degree on the gaming floor in that first class. And there was no better education than to open property at, to start right down in the trenches. And there's still some people that I started with that are still down there in operations and doing well all these years later.
So thinking back to like when you were first dealing with casino goers back then and casino goers now, what's one thing that is just so the same and another thing that maybe is drastically changed? Or you can even just choose one or the other.
I think it's a great question. I think that, you know, from the start, I think what has not changed is that folks want to come in and have a good time, right? And everybody wants to win a little bit too, but I think at their heart, I would say the majority of the guests know that, yeah, there's a chance that I could win, but what I really want is to have a good time and to enjoy myself. And that hasn't changed, I don't think, right from the start. And we've always tried to keep that in mind. And, you know, as a fairly local property that really has the cachet of any other major resort around the country, you know, we kind of balance those two, right? We bring in a lot of guests from outside the area, and yet a lot of our businesses as locals have been coming for many, many years. What's changed, and I've said this a number of times, is that just like we had to learn how to be casino workers and learn the casino business, there was no casino nearby. You know, Foxwoods was open 1 year before us. And that was a 4 or 5 hour drive to Atlantic City. We had players who had to learn how to be casino players because they just did not have that experience anywhere else. So in some sense, we were kind of growing up together, right? They were learning the games and they were learning what to expect from a casino. And we were learning what was expected of us. So I think that the player today, the guest today, is so much more well-educated than in the casino world than when we first started 30 years ago.
So you mentioned, you know, you have to learn how to be a casino, have to learn how to deal the games and stuff like that. But, you know, as we all know, there's casinos in more than two thirds of the country now, or states in from local properties to sovereign nation properties to all, you know, then of course the big places. Customer service could not be more important, I think, in the casino industry right now. One of the many accolades that Turning Stone got in their recent list of awards was number one dealers. I know me and my friends, me and this community of recreational gamblers, win or lose, if we have a losing session with a great crew, it feels like a win, right? It feels like we really enjoyed ourselves. How does Turning Stone sort of establish that culture of good customer-facing service while also sort of having their dealers' backs, right? I think that's something that dealers worry about, that sometimes the customer will be overvalued and they'll be undermined. Clearly, if you have good dealers, it means you're doing something right on both sides. Can you explain Turning Stone's philosophy on that?
One of the things I don't think has changed, having started here as a dealer, seeing that award as the best dealers, I mean, that warms my heart. That means that I think we're doing something right, because as a player, I feel the same way you do, that win or lose, if I've had somebody that's entertained me, that I've had fun, that I've enjoyed myself, that's the ultimate compliment. You know, getting a toke as a dealer, getting a toke when you're beating the table up is the ultimate expression of I've done my job. But one of the things that we've always done, and we've always prided ourselves in here, right from the very start, is we do a tremendous job educating and training our dealers. We have our own dedicated training staff, our own dedicated training facility. It's not a short period of time. We don't rush folks onto the table. You know, we make certain that they understand the job, the mechanics of it. And then two, again, right from the start, we don't hire for proficiency. Even now, nowadays there's a lot of people that have dealt elsewhere, but for us, we would much prefer to take someone who maybe hasn't dealt that we can train, we can make certain has those guest service skills right from the start. And you know, one of the things that's been really worked really well for us over the years, Tim, is that we've identified people. They might start here as a dishwasher, but you can tell who has those guest service skills, who shows up to work, who has a smile on their face, who's able to turn on the switch. And I don't know if they had a bad day. I don't know if they had a flat tire coming in. All I know is they're here to work. They're here to do a good job. And they bring a great attitude. Those are the folks that we identify and we're able to put into our training protocols process and get them out as dealers as well. And I think that has served us really well. I remember many, many years ago when other properties started to open, whether it was Mohegan Sun or, you know, some of the gambling boats down in in Florida, we would lose dealers to those locations. Better climb, better pay, whatever. And inevitably, we would get phone calls from management saying, well, if you have any more of your dealers, send them to us. They're well-trained. They understand guest service. They don't make mistakes. They understand the balance between protecting the assets of the company, but also entertaining the guest. And that is the same today as it was 29 years ago when I was.
Your comment on, you know, almost preferring no experience over experience kind of reminds me of when I was in boot camp in the Marine Corps. They said if you've never shot a gun, you may be better than those that have because you don't have any bad habits. And I imagine when it comes to being a dealer, that probably rings true as well.
100%. Listen, again, as a dealer, I can tell you that everybody is, I won't say bad habits, everybody is going to find what some of those shortcuts are, right? As a dealer, you're going to see what some of those shortcuts are. And there's a reason why we have the rules and the way we want the game dealt, no matter what the game is. And everybody is going to find their own little niche. And listen, we've had dealers over the years. I've had dealers that, you know, the guest service is too much, right? It's over the top. Every hand is, you know, it's like the Super Bowl or like Mardi Gras. Okay, not every player wants that experience, right? You have to be able to read the table. You know, some people just want you to shut up and deal. And that's okay if that's the experience that they want. But, you know, so we've had folks that just were never able to rein that in and kind of understand, read those social cues as to what's expected of you. And that's part of it too, right? You know, identifying those people that are not only going to learn the game, but are going to understand, you know, how to relate to the guests and depending on what that guest wants from you on that particular day. I think it's easier to do that when you don't bring a lot of preconceived. So yeah, I would agree 100% with
it. It's so funny you say that because I'm just thinking of all the times where like I've had over animated blackjack dealers and I'm like, yeah, I want to do the high five and celebrate when I've like split and doubled down three times and then the dealer pulls off a bust. That's exciting. Just because I got the 19 over the dealer 17, we don't just deal the next hand.
Yeah, you know, and part of that too, that also what goes along with that is that when you've split eights four times and a couple of double downs in there and suddenly the dealer pulls 21, you know, now suddenly there's a bigger difference between, oh, that was a bad beat, you know, and yeah. You have to be able to read that tape. You have to know when to kind of commiserate in kind of a quiet way and not make everything a big production. So that's one of the things that I loved about dealing. To me, it felt like going on stage. Every time I tapped onto a game, it felt like going on stage. I was entertaining the crowd. And those are the dealers that you want. And those are the ones we look for.
Sure. A property that receives that many number ones and bests in any sort of award market must speak to players. How do you ensure that the low rollers coming to Turning Stone feel appreciated to knowing that their action is still, they understand they're not getting the same situation scenarios as other players, but they still feel like their action is appreciated and rewarded?
I think there's a couple ways I think that we've struck upon over the years. One is you have to present some great amenities, no matter what the level of the player is. You know, what's happened just recently, we closed for 3 months for COVID. And during that time, we took advantage of that time to say, let's update things like the showroom. Let's renovate our buffet, which we're in the process of doing now. Let's make sure that, you know, the clubhouse for the golf course is renovated as well. You know, really make certain that those things that you wouldn't necessarily be able to do if you were a fully functioning casino resort with people in all the time, that you take advantage of that. So, and then two, it's this idea that it's gotta be the cleanest place. It's gotta be, you know, every employee is tasked with, as you're walking around the property, it's that make eye contact, it's say hello, it's use the guest name. It sounds trite. A lot of places, you know, those are baked in, we live and breathe that. We make certain that every person that comes, it does not feel like, well, they're, you know, if you're not the VIP, you're not going to be recognized. I mentioned before, we have a lot of repeat guests that are here quite often. And, you know, the goal is to treat them as well as the whale, the high roller. And the way we do that, you know, also is that we've worked really hard to construct a player reinvestment program, player rewards program that really rewards everybody, whether it's the one-time guest with a high ADT, or, you know, or whether it's that guest that just comes 3 days a week or comes once a week on the bus, that they find some reward out of that. And, you know, we've been able to do that. So we find a way to be transparent about that so that the guests know what they're going to expect, so that it's not a surprise when they get their mailer next month and they've, you know, where did all my rewards go? No, they know, they're confident. They understand what the play is going to get them. And at whatever level, I think that's comfortable. So it's worked out very well.
Yeah. Is there, you just mentioned ADT, which my audience is very familiar with. We all know that coin in, that table rating is the most transparent discussion that can be had between player and casino. But for people that are sort of in that middle ground, they're not a low roller, like they give the casino plenty of action, but they don't teeter over to the side of maybe being hostable or anything like that. Is there anything they can do to improve their relationship with the casino other than simply increasing their ADT or rating?
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't mind using ADT because I assumed that your listeners are going to understand that. A lot of people, you know, you have to explain it. It takes 10 minutes just to explain the theory behind that. But another great question. One of the things that we decided a number of years ago was to try and get as much of a holistic look at every player as possible. So our player rewards program, our TS rewards program, incorporates everything that happens here on property. So you're going to earn points back for every purchase made if you do that by using your card. Retail, golf, food and beverage, hotel stays, spa. You know, what that allows us to do is get a better idea of why the person comes, you know, twice a month, they gain to a certain extent, but they also spend some money in the spa. In some instances, even more. Right. So as a full service four diamond resort, we want to understand every player, where do they fit in that matrix? So, you know, we reward people for using that card. And that allows us to really treat people as individuals so that it's not just, well, you know, here's your ADT, here's your average daily loss, and we're able to slot you into a certain tier, and that's where you're going to fall. So when it comes to hotel rooms, when it comes to show tickets, when it comes to things that you would normally associate with a gamer getting for their play, we like to incorporate the rest of that spend in there as well, too, so that when we evaluate a player, we have a really good idea of what that person wants to do and can do. So that really helps that middling player, right? The one that, you're right, they're not hostable, but they're not also so casual that they don't really expect much. They're looking at us and saying, hey, there's really nice things here. How do I get access to it? And we believe our program allows them to do that better than most.
Yeah. We saw the pandemic have a huge impact on table minimums as casinos were reopening. We saw this especially in big markets like Vegas, Biloxi, and Atlantic City. Did a local casino like yourself experience have to make that adjustment as well? Or were we able to reasonably go back to pre-pandemic table minimums?
We're really fortunate that a few years ago, 6 years ago, when New York State decided to add some additional commercial casinos, we took advantage of the agreement that the United Nations has with New York State to open up some satellite properties. The first being in the suburb of Syracuse, about half an hour away. I was fortunate enough to go and open that property as a general manager. We've since opened up two more. So what that's done, Tim, what that did, it allowed us post-COVID. What we really saw were folks gravitating to those smaller properties, and those properties didn't have the same pressure to raise the table minimums that we might have had here at the main resort. So it was almost a pressure valve, right, that we were able to release. So folks who wanted the smaller games, who wanted the smaller venue, who wanted just a little more of that hometown feel, they had that. They could go to one of those properties, and we saw a significant shift really in some business to those properties. And it allowed us here at the resort to, you know, maintain, to really react the way you would see a lot of the other main resorts react as far as, you know, and at that point, it table minimums. And it really came down to staffing, which is a big issue for everybody. But at those smaller properties, we were able to treat that a little bit differently than we did here at the main resort. So, yeah, we felt those pressures and we feel we've navigated.
Can you recall a decision that you've made while in this position that has had the greatest impact on customer service?
Funny, it's another interesting question. I'd almost back up one and say it was a decision that led to this position being created. Oh. I mentioned YBR Casino, our first satellite casino 6 years ago, about 30 minutes away. And I was asked if I wanted to join that project as the general manager. And it allowed me to start with a clean slate and hire all the staff there, a few hundred people. And it was recruit volunteer from the main resort to go and then just to hire all of these folks off the street. And it really allowed us to kind of roll back to, you know, 25 years previous when we opened up Turningstone and say, who are those people out there that aren't in the casino industry, right? They don't have a long history with us, but let's start from scratch and let's make certain that, you know, there's the expectation is we're going to be the cleanest, friendliest, nicest place out there. And we were wildly successful. And that wasn't just due to me, but, you know, it worked out great. And really when it came time, we opened up the additional properties, that created an opportunity to say, hey, let's make certain that we keep that same mentality in mind across the entire organization. Let's create a position. Who's the best person for that? And I was tasked with it. So I feel like that the decision to make that move, to go to that smaller property, to start from scratch and prove that we could do it again, and we could do it again, and then a third time, right? Recreate what we had done before. I think what that's done is really reinvigorated all of us to say that guest experience is first and foremost number one. There's a lot of competition out there, but, you know, folks have to feel more comfortable coming to one of our properties for any number of reasons. And I think that's where me personally, that's where I feel I've had the biggest impact is that, you know, helping to prove that we could start over and do it just as well as we had before. So, and, you know, and on a smaller level, part of my job now is finding those folks that either fall through the cracks or they need a more in-depth explanation as to, you know, what happened to my offers? Why, what is going on? What can I do to either better my offers or, you know, take care of a particular issue? Those get filtered to me. So every day I get to help, you know, a dozen of our guests with some of the craziest things in the world. And that's really, you know, makes the job worthwhile.
So to piggyback on that last line there, I mean, can you share an anecdote of when you had sort of a unique opportunity, maybe one that you had to put a little more creativity into it or unique problem solving that really got to enhance a guest experience?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's a couple that come to mind. It was a couple of years ago. We had a gentleman who was turning 100. Now, he had... his claim to fame was, he was a regular, he would always tell people that he was the first one through the door when we cut the tape 20 odd years ago. And I would always remind him that, yes, that was true. I was here that, and I would tell him he never finishes the story because I remember he walked directly to my blackjack table. He lost $100. He called me a name and he walked away. And he would never admit to that. But when he turned 100, Rixie surprised he and his daughter with a cake in the lobby. And we had just hundreds of people show up and sing happy birthday to him. You know, it was not that he was the resort mascot. He was just somebody who had been here from the start and had seen us grow and had grown with us. And just to see how touched he was at that, right, to really feel as if he was part of the family here, that was special, you know. And then, you know, listen, there's some fun stuff too. We had Mike Tyson here a couple of years ago we do regular boxing events and televised boxing events. And we had Mike Tyson here and, you know, escorting Mike Tyson around there's a phrase there that I wish I could tell. But you know, one of them, we were having a wedding. We had this elegant wedding venue at our lodge. It's this great lawn. It's a beautiful afternoon. It's this wonderful wedding. We're walking by and Mike Tyson sees the wedding and decides he wants to go photobomb the wedding party. So, and these folks went wild. They just went wild taking photos. He stayed for 45 minutes to an hour taking photos with them. And I'm thinking, you know, listen, that's not what they expected, but they booked the wedding with us. And yet that was, you know, they're going to walk away from that saying that was just something. So, you know, it's little things like that, that because we're a four diamond resort, because we have all these wonderful amenities, you never know who you're going to bump into, first of all. But two, we also have the ability to make everybody stay unique and special. And, you know, those are just one local and one somebody who, you know, Mike Tyson, certainly not local, and yet was able to make someone's special event.
About 3.5 years ago, the United States Supreme Court struck down PASPA, which was outlawed sports betting in 49 states. New York was one of the earlier adopters to get legislation through, but they kept it to brick and mortar only and did not go the online route, which I think that's probably soon to be turned around. But obviously, having a couple years of being able to bring people into a sports book, since they have to come into, I imagine it had some sort of impact on the property, at least through, you tell me, did it impact frequency? Did it impact, were people just sort of in and out, like make their bets and leave? Like, did it have the effect that states like New York, Mississippi, these states that don't adopt online betting, hoping that people will go to the casino? Did you guys see anything like that at Turning Stone?
Sure. We certainly saw a subset. We saw a group of people that wouldn't normally come on a regular basis come in to make wagers. So, you know, and so I think proving the point that there are people who will bet on sports who don't normally come in to play bingo or to play slots or even to play tables. And I think the other thing that we saw too was, listen, you know, the first thing that you, when you think of, oh, sports better, well, they're probably poker players. Well, they're probably table game players. Boy, what we found from our research was that they were just as likely to be slot players. They were almost as likely to be female. Right? So all these preconceived notions that you would have that, oh, it's all the guys, you know, when the poker game breaks up, they're going to come out and make their bets, you know, or it's the guys from OTB, you know, from the betting parlor for the racing that's going to come over. And it was a wide variety. It really, you know, it was, which was a little bit surprising. So it was and there were people who were minor casino players who suddenly became a face in the, you know, in the sports book. So it also allowed us, we were very fortunate. We had the opportunity to offer sports betting. One of the first things that we did was form a great alliance with Caesars. So all of our sports books are, you know, the lounge with Caesars Sports. And that's just an iconic brand that we were able to partner with to help us with some of the, not just the back end stuff, you know, the infrastructure behind it too, but it gave us use of some of their brand. And that's a great brand to be associated with. So you'll find that in all of our sports books. And then, you know, to your point about folks just popping in, well, pretty quickly we realized that, you know, the kiosk option, which is the next best thing to do on your phone, to have those available 24/7. Yeah, we saw people run in at, you know, midnight on a Saturday night to get their Sunday wagers in for NFL football. And you know, they get all their parlays in and then they go home and they watch the game. So, and then, you know, lastly, it allowed us to take some space that frankly was probably underutilized in all of our locations and create some really beautiful sports books, you know, with some really great spaces to come and watch the game. And then we're able to use that for some larger groups, you know, whether it's a bachelor or bachelorette group or a birthday party or a company outing. It allowed us to reconfigure some space and create just a really fun atmosphere. Listen, Saturday, Sundays, you know, any given night when there's a big game on, there's going to be a crowd in that sports book and they're going to be hooting and hollering. And that's good for the casino. If you go to a casino, the last thing you want is it to sound like a church. You want activity. You want to feel the vibe. You want to feel like you just drove in from the airport in Las Vegas. And the sportsbook helps. So, yeah, we've really seen a not insignificant impact.
Now, Dan, my audience is waiting for me to ask you. I decided to wait till the end to ask. But do you gamble? Do you find yourself? Do you like ponying up at a table or making some bets yourself?
I do. I will admit. I will say. I'll qualify that. I'll say it's not that I don't still enjoy it. I don't find as much time to do it now as I used to. And I, you know, I'm sure your audience knows. And at best, there's every gamer has a certain life cycle. You know, in that when you're young and starting out, you have a certain bankroll that you can go and play with, and that's going to give you a certain experience. Then you reach a point where that bankroll, that circumstances are a little bit different. Then, you know, maybe you have a little more of that disposable income. And then you kind of move into that stage where, okay, I'm retired. So, you know, maybe I don't have quite as much to gamble as I used to. So I feel like I've kind of lived that same life cycle. I still enjoy the thrill of, you know, being at the table, even on a slot machine. I've always approached the table games, obviously, but like everybody else, as a young person, early 20s, I made my first trip to Atlantic City. The first time I was in a casino, I came home as a winner. It was probably $50, but I thought this was the greatest thing in the world, right? Like, this is the secret. I hope nobody else finds out about this. This is great. And then the more you go, you realize, okay, it doesn't happen every time. But I've also said too that when I did some of the training, a lot of the training for our folks in any of the properties, especially the dealers, if you don't gamble, you're doing yourself a disservice. You should understand the feeling of walking up to a game, putting $100 down, having your heart racing, you know, either having a bad beat or making money, because it's going to give you a different perspective when you're on the other side of the table or when you're a slot supervisor and somebody hits that jackpot. You ought to know what that feels like. And if you don't, then you're missing out, because you're probably not going to connect with the players as much as you could. And I've always said, listen, even if it's just one time, go to a casino and take some money and play, because it's going to give you a different appreciation for what that person who walked in off the street is hoping for and expecting.
Well, wonderful. Dan, we'll leave it there. I could stay here and talk to you all night about casino operations and guest services. And, you know, I'm sure you have stories that would last us hours, but I will be mindful of your time. I'm so appreciative that you came on here to do this. It's always fun to talk to someone who's actually in an industry, who's working at a casino, who's face-to-face with gamblers, because that's a relationship that we as players really kind of like, don't take for granted, right? We understand that that's a great relationship to have, because we want to enjoy our experience there, and of course you want players to come back, right? So thank you so much for talking to my audience and sharing some of your stories.
My pleasure. I've always enjoyed what I do. I love our property. I think it's a beautiful property. I love talking about it, and hopefully we can do this again sometime. I'd love to chat again.
All right, very good. I will make sure that you make good on that. All right. Big thanks to Dan. I'll try when he of course, you know, as a good director of guest experiences does, invited me to check out the resort, which I do think I'll do next year. And maybe if I make my trip up there, maybe I can get him behind a mic one more time and get a nice full conversation and we can elaborate on some things. So, but this was fun. I'm hoping to. You'll notice that the name of this podcast episode included the prefix "Better Business," and something I hope to do more often. Maybe not on a regular basis, you know, not as routine, maybe as Better Viewing. But I do want to talk about. I do want to talk to casino employees and industry personnel when possible to get their thoughts and get their perspective on things. So big thanks to Dan for joining me. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's look towards the future here. Now I talked about possibly doing a trip out the Rocky Gap. Literally every person that was a maybe for this was like, yeah, it's not going to work out. So this November 19 Rocky Gap trip is pretty much all but canceled as it comes to a meetup. My calendar is now getting a little bit tricky that this will likely just be a day trip for myself if I do end up going there. So complete 180 on where I thought this was gonna go, but here we are. But if you were silently thinking you might go, I'm just giving you the warning now that I am now a coin flip for that day as well, because it seems like it's a no for most people, or I should say it's a no for anybody that I've talked to about it, except for Dan Yost. I'm sorry, Dan. But hopefully the River Hounds are deep enough in the playoffs where you're not even going to be there either. But when things that are starting to get on a schedule, Travel Zork, of course, we know. Zork Fest, put on by Travel Zork. We know December 17 and 18. I will be there. I get in on the 15th. I'm there till the 20th. I'm staying at Plaza the whole time. And there's nothing for me to do other than Zork Fest. And so while I'm not at Zork Fest, I will be gambling and doing some content stuff. But if you want to hang out, you want to gamble, if you're not even going to Zork Fest, but you're going to be in Vegas and you want to hang out and gamble, that I'm going to be I will be downtown the entire time. I can tell you that right now. It's going to take a major event or a unique opportunity to get me out of downtown. I'm just going to be sitting at Plaza, at Circa, at Golden Gate. I may not even leave that corner. That'll be my time while I'm in Vegas. December 7 and 8, 17 and 18 is when that is. If you're interested in Zork Fest, zorkfest.com. Is where you can go to check out. I think it's zorkfest.com. Traeger is going to hate me that I'm like, it's so inconsistent in my ability to promote this thing. But here we are. I believe it's zorkfest.com, right? Yeah. No, it's travelzork.com/zorkfest. See, this is why. I'm so sorry, Traeger. travelzork.com/zorkfest. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am emceeing for the first part of the podcast or potluck that will have a panel hosted by Lisa from the Plaza podcast, and it'll include a number of panelists. And then I am then hosting a live performance of The Better Life that has a guaranteed appearance. Or at least as confirmed as one could be with Mr. Gil Alexander, and then a probably for my better half and a maybe for the gentleman from You Can Bet on That. So that is where we're at. I can tell you right now, between now and probably that week of, maybe we'll see what other confirmation I get, but if you're on the fence because you want more information out of that, you're not going to get it. If it's just Gil and I guarantee you it'll be worth your time. If it's just me, I can guarantee you it'll be worth your time. I can monologue for 45 minutes to an hour and make it worth everybody's time. If it's the group of us, it's going to be great. And it's going to be one of those things that I can't tell you, but, I would say that if I had to put a line on this, the favorite would be, it's going to be myself, Gil, and one of those other people. But there we go. That's where we're at with this. Speaking of Lisa from the Corner of Main Street podcast, Lisa will actually be on the podcast in a couple weeks, along with Michael Traeger, two separate segments. We'll learn about Lisa and her role there at the Plaza, and then Mr. Traeger will join me for a short segment to talk about Zork Fest. So if you're curious about anything, send us questions that way Michael can address it. And so if you've been on the fence or you're kind of unsure or you have a last-minute decision to make about Zork Fest, we can address that. Next week, Better Viewing with Mark Duvall. It's been a little while. I know this was a longer break than usual. We're going to talk about Squid Game, that has a handful of gambling references in a number of episodes throughout the series. So we're going to talk about Squid Game. There's an episode from the most recent Rick and Morty that has Vegas imagery. We'll talk about that. There is a scene or two from the Behind the Beard or whatever the Coach Beard focused episode of the last season of Ted Lasso. There's a gambling reference there. We'll talk about that. And there's a couple other that I'll tweet about, follow at The Better Life or look at the hashtag Better Viewing, and you'll see what we'll be discussing next week. But that'll be next week, new Better Viewing episode. And then shortly after that, Matt Landis from Props and Hops, he's going to be on the show before too long. So November is shaping up to be a cool month for the podcast. I'm looking forward to it. And then we hit December, and we'll see what I can get what I can wrap up the year with. But what a year that this has been for The Better Life. I mean, it's things were looking a little shaky as in 2020. I was like, goodness, what do I talk about? Casinos aren't open. There's no sports to bet on. But version 3.5, as I like to call it, of The Better Life, I think has taken really good shape, and I'm really enjoying where it's at right now. If you're listening to this day of, or a day or two afterwards, if this is still the month of October while you're listening to this, you essentially have until the end of the day on November 1st, which is a Monday. You have the end of the day on November 1st to get a better Santa gift set. I will be sending out probably the very next day. I'll probably even start sending it out before then to people. A form, a little survey on like who they are as a gambler. Very simple survey this year. It's pretty much going to be, you know, some craps, no craps, some sports betting, no sports betting, stuff like this. Real quick little toggle, so that way I can quickly throw in put the best set together for you. But it's a lot of fun every year. I've already started making ordering some of the stuff that I want to include. A lot of fun. Bettermerch.com is where you can participate. $25, and then shipping is usually the sticker shock for some people. I am sorry, but that's like the one part I can't get behind on that. So I need to make sure that that's covered well enough. Okay, I think that does it. I think that does it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I am looking forward to better viewing and some Zorkfest and some Lisa from Plaza. I'm doing that thing where I'm just sort of slowly recapping to make sure there's nothing I think I'm forgetting. I don't think there is. YouTube.com/TheBetterLife is where you can check out our videos. I've already started recording some. Looking forward to publishing them. But I'll wrap it up here. I'm Timothy Lawson on behalf of Dan Jones. Good night and good luck.